You got Bibles? Let's get to work. 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. While you're turning there, I'm going to pray. Call us out, Lord. Call us out. Come on. To war. Call us out to war, God. Raise them up. Call out the heroes today, Lord. Call them out. Raise them up, Father. Call them out. Single them out, God. God, I ask that today as I speak, your spirit would be in this room picking people, highlighting people, commissioning people, raising them up, Lord. An end to spiritual passivity today in Jesus' name. Raise them up, God. Answer my cry, oh my God. Answer my cry. Remember me, Lord. Remember me. 2 Samuel 23. I'm in verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Josheb Bashabeth, a Tachmonite. He was chief of the three. He wielded his spear against 800 whom he killed at one time. And next to him among the three mighty men was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, son of Ahohi. He was with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel withdrew. He rose and struck down the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clung to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the men returned after him only to strip the slain. And next to him, come on, raise him up today, God. An end to spiritual passivity. Raise him up. Spirit of Shema, rise in this house. Spirit of Shema, rise in this house. And next to him was Shema, the son of Agi the Hararite. The Philistines gathered together at Lehi, where there was a plot of ground full of lentils. And the men fled from the Philistines. But he took his stand in the midst of the plot and defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord worked a great victory. Come on! That's enough. We'll just do the three. There's something like 30 more of them, and they were great exploits. Where are all the heroes? Where are the heroes who will stand their ground when the rest flee? Where are they? Are you one? Is he calling you out? Cody Bowman, is he calling you out today? Spirit of Shema, come upon this man. No more running. No more running. They're just lentils, dude. Back, just calm down. They're just lentils. I mean, it's just lentils, dude. I mean, you like lentils. What's the big deal? The big deal is, it's an old military strategy. Burn the crops. Weaken the people. Wear them out. Discourage them. If you can't kill them in a full frontal assault, starve them out. Wear them down. Discourage them. Pick at them. hit the food sources first. Wear them out. When the kids get hungry, they get a little bit more compliant. What's the big deal, Shema? Not on my watch. Not on my watch. I planted this field. I planted this field. I pulled the weeds. I watered it. I took care of it. I saw that it was fruitful, and I'm going to eat of it. This is my inheritance. God chose my people to have this land, and he allotted this portion to my house. And I will not let an enemy take what God has promised to me. I will not. I will not back down. I will die fighting, but I will not back down and flee when my inheritance is threatened. Come on. Today's the day. Today's the day. Today's the day, Joe. Come on. Today's the day of an end to spiritual passivity. No more moping. No more moping. Today's the day. The attitudes, the thoughts, the negativities, the pessimisms, the why it can't work, the why I can't be faithful, the why I'm so broken, the infinite excuses. Today's the day to begin to fight the battle where it actually begins, right here in the mind. Today's the day to begin to recognize the enemy is robbing your food stores. He's robbing your food stores. The renewed mind. Take every thought captive. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus. Why am I discouraged? I feel this discouragement coming on me. Why am I feeling so discouraged? God, are you discouraged? No, son, I'm pretty confident I got this. Well, then why am I discouraged? You know, if I'm discouraged and you're not discouraged, then maybe this thought doesn't come from you. It's an enemy. Crush it. You don't play with the snakes. You don't journal them out and say, maybe one day I won't have this thought anymore. You kill them. That thought didn't come from me, and it didn't come from him. So where did it come from? It's an enemy trying to steal my food sources. Shema. Come on. I'm not just talking to the men today. The Lord is raising up heroes. Do you see how the soldiers fled? The common ones fled? They ran. I'm not calling you to be normal Christians today. The heck with normal Christianity. I'm not calling you to be normal. You were never meant to be normal. You were never meant to fit in. You were never meant to judge your success by looking around the room. You were never meant to measure yourself by each other. You were never meant to. You got a calling on your life. It's time you owned up to it and stopped making excuses and took the aggression you were meant to have, and take it out on fulfilling your calling, fighting the enemy, taking his ground. Come on. Come on. Mighty ones. The Hebrew word is Giborim. Mighty men. It's kind of where I chose the name for my son, Gabriel. Gibor, mighty, strong. The Lord is mighty. Giborim, the mighty ones. And the Lord is asking, where are my heroes? The battle is raging. The battle is raging now. The battle is raging now. In the church and out of the church, the battle is raging. Where are my heroes who will stand their ground? Where are my heroes? Where are my mighty ones who will pray when there's no prayer meeting called, who will get their face in the Word faithfully, and they will squeeze life into their soul by hearing His voice? Where are my mighty ones who will believe those promises and who will stand their ground and who will say, I'm not a feeler, I'm a believer. I'm walking by faith. Enough Today's the day for somebody. Somebody's today day is today. This is the kind of preaching that scared me when I was a little kid. Because all I heard was, wah, 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 rah! And I was like, can we bring earplugs to church, Mom? Pastor Mel Shetler scares me. Bless Mel and Edna Shetler. Bless them in Jesus' name. And bless his yelling. I get it now. Spiritual aggression. I'll tell you what the big deal about these lentils is. They're my stinking lentils. That's the big deal. How do you like that for a sermon title? They're my stinking lentils. It's my food. And it's not my food alone. It's the children's bread. It's the children's bread. All right, come on. Did you know that under David's dynasty, there wasn't just one giant killer? David wasn't the only one killing giants. You know this. I'm not going to read it to you because I'm going to go long today if I keep reading everything. 1 Chronicles chapter 20 and verses 1 through 8 show us three more giant killers. Three more giant killers in David's army. You see, here's the deal. We were not meant to look back on glory days gone by. Mighty exploits of men of prayer and women of prayer and mission and sacrifice. The Hudson Taylors and the George Whitfields, you know. John Wesley's and Charles Finney's. We were not meant to look back and say, wasn't it great back in the day? David wasn't the glory days gone past. He was the door into the new normal, right? Three more guys in his ministry killed giants just like he did. Three more. I mean, a whole host of mighty men, crazier, scarier to me, scarier than even David. I mean, the three are an army, okay? You don't mess with the three, you know? Did you know the strength isn't in the numbers, guys? We have the idea that if we just get enough people praying, something will happen. When Elijah, by himself, could stop the rain and bring it back. Why? You tell me. Come on. Today's the day for somebody. Some of y'all are looking at me like I'm crazy. But let me tell you this. Never been over here before. Before you kill a giant, what do you got to kill? Anyone taking notes today? All right, I got a phrase for you. Secret life. Secret life. Before David ever killed a giant, he killed a lion and a bear with no one watching. You are defined by your secret life. You are defined by your secret life. Either your integrity is defined by your secret life in God, or your complete and total lack of integrity is defined by your secret life in sin. But you are defined by your secret life. It's time for somebody today to say, I'm done with my lion and my bear dominating me in private. You will never find victory over your Goliath until you know how to bring down the power of God and cooperate with it to kill your lion and your bear. Come on. And I'm a guy, so I'll speak for a moment to the men. Lion, bear, lust, anger. I'm very tired of a theology of barrenness that keeps Jesus in the grave and me in my sin forgiven until I get to heaven. It isn't Bible. You were never meant to be filled with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and live in perpetual addiction. If it's a stronghold that you cannot simply repent of, then it's a demon. It's a stronghold. It's a room in your house that has gotten so filled that you cannot simply talk to it and say, I think I'd like to just repent of that. It's deeper. Did you know? Did you know when the disciples couldn't get a demon out? What was Jesus' response? This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. The Lord spoke that over me one time. With anger. Anger. I said, Lord, I've prayed, I've cried out, what am I supposed to do? Why aren't you hearing my cries? He's like, I'm hearing your cries. Oh, what's the problem? You're supposed to deliver me from this. And he says, the demon's in too deep, Tim. I don't have a demon. Don't you talk to me like that. I don't have no demon. The demon's in too deep. This kind only comes out with prayer and fasting. What do you mean? You need to wait on me. I do wait on you. Turn, please, to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, I'm going to read it, verse 5. And he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Stop. Let me ask you that question. Which of you has the audacity to wake up a friend in a flat sleep in the middle of the night while their doors are locked because you have a need? Which of you has that kind of audacity? Which of you has that kind of rudeness? Which of you has that kind of tenacity? Which of you? Those are the ones who are going to break strongholds. Today's your day for somebody. An end to spiritual passivity. Come on, keep reading. Which of you has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Stop. Oh, I'm sorry to bother you. I really feel terrible. I guess I'll be going. Come on. Lord, I've been waiting on you. Yeah, Tim, what happens when you wait for a little bit, and then when it doesn't happen, you go on with other things? Verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, this is a very popular verse, very not very well understood. And I tell you, ask and it will be given you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. What kind of knocking? What kind of knocking? Yeah, but Lord, I asked and I didn't receive, you know? I sought and I didn't find. I knocked and it didn't open. Did you really? Did you really ask, seek, and knock? Because I think you did it for a second or two or a minute or two, and then you gave up and went home empty-handed. I'm not trying to beat you up today. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to, but I guess I am. I don't want to beat you up. I want to call you up. You know? I'm calling you up. Some of you are called to be leaders in the army of God, no longer followers. Following is fine. It's okay to run after a hero and strip the dead. That's an important work as well. But somebody in here is getting called out today to be a Gibborim, to be a mighty one. who will stand when others fall, who will continue in prayer, who will stay up at night. Did you know that it's okay to stay up at night, all night, crying out, like Luke 18 says, day and night, crying out. Sleep doesn't matter to me, God, like a breakthrough in this area. Sleep doesn't matter. Food doesn't matter. There is no object that will stand between me and my stinking lentils. You can laugh. That's funny. Let me bring it out of them. There is nothing that would stand between me and the holiness God demands of me. I am holy, so be holy, says the Lord. Come apart from them and be separate. Give sin no quarter. No quarter. Crush it. Cut your arm off. Pluck your eye out. Do whatever you need to do. It's the children's bread. You are defined by your secret life. Whether your secret life of integrity and communion with God, your secret life with God, bless you, Alexis, your secret life with God, your secret life moves mountains. It moves mountains. It girds up your heart. It tells you who you are. You will hear His voice. You will hear His voice. He will meet with you. He is your security. He is your stronghold in the day of battle. He is your refuge. He is your strength. He is everything. He's your foundation. Your secret life in God. You have to live out of your secret life in God. There's no other way. I hate to break it to you, but if you don't kill your lion and your bear, you won't kill your Goliath. And if you don't kill the giants, the people don't come into the promised land. Come on! I'm going to finish with this. Yeah, I'm already done. This is an altar call. My entire sermon is nothing but an altar call. I'm calling out the burning ones. The burning ones. What do you mean, Tim? The burning ones. The Lord spoke to me this week in a manner relating to finance, where I had an opportunity to let the church pay for something. But He gave me a warning. I know it's dangerous to share something that comes from your private life in this public setting, but I want to do it to make a point. He gave me a warning and a promise. He took me to the passage where David has an option from God. David has an option from God. 3 years of famine, 3 months of being ravaged by the enemies, or 3 days of the sword of the Lord. And David wisely, because he knows the character of God, he knows the ways of God, like this one right here, Shirley, come on, knows the ways of God, meditates on the precepts of God, and has gotten better than just wisdom, has gotten understanding, meditates on the precepts of God and has gotten understanding. Mighty, you are mighty, you are mighty. David, knowing the ways of God, says, let me not fall into the hands of men. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. Okay? And then he sees the angel of the Lord destroying at the threshing floor of Obed-Edom. And Obed-Edom says, just take my land quick. Just do it. Take my cattle. Just do it. Offer to the Lord sacrifice and stop the mess. And David says, no. I'm going to give you the full price for the land. I'm going to buy the field. I'm going to buy the land. I'm going to give you the full price. I'm going to buy the oxen. I will not sacrifice to the Lord burnt offerings that cost me nothing. And this is the only time I see this happening in David's ministry. He didn't have to light that sacrifice on fire. The text says, and the fire fell from heaven and lit the sacrifice. The fire doesn't fall on offerings, kiddos. It doesn't fall on offerings. It doesn't fall on religious formulas. It doesn't fall on you doing your religious spiritual duty and showing up in church and doing the right things and going through the programs. It only falls on sacrifice. It only falls on me, costly, giving out where it hurts. It only falls on surrendered sacrifice. I'm calling out burning ones who will be living sacrifices today. I'm calling out the burning ones. Come up here right now. Right now. If he's calling you out today to a renewed mind, to demolish strongholds, to take the enemy's ground, come up right now. Burning ones. Burning ones. Burning ones. Where the fire will fall on the sacrifice. The fire will fall on the sacrifice. And here's the end of the story. I put all the financial charges on my own personal credit card. And my prayer was for some of these folks I took with me to Pennsylvania to get touched by God, to fall in love more deeply with Jesus, to experience the only thing that can create freedom over strongholds, and that's the baptism or filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know the Spirit's in every single Christian, but just because he's in you doesn't mean he's overflowing out of you and you've been overwhelmed by an encounter with his power and love, so that what Peter says, though you haven't seen him, you know him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. If you don't have that kind of well of joy within you, then you need a baptism. I'm calling out burning ones today. I told the Lord, if I get six, that's enough for me. Do you see this? All right. Thank you, Mark. Give me somebody up here on the keyboard. Jesus. 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 Dennis, you choose us. Come up here. I'm going to start praying for these folks. You give whatever words on your heart. If you're up here and you've received a touch, I want you to turn around. I want every single one of these guys prayed for. Jesus. The rest of you, go ahead and stand at this time. If you want to head over and start eating, that's fine, but we got business to do in here, and I don't want you to feel constrained by us, but at least stay for Dennis's word, all right? Bless you.
I just want to share a couple things real fast. Share something very personal. Some of you know my daughter Barbara. When she was 16, she ran away from home. She continued running away from home a couple more times. Ran away when she's 18 again. 3-4 times she ran away. One night state police called and asked if she could come home. She got beat up by her boyfriend. She was 18. She's 22 now. She came home. Told me this past summer, "Dad, I ain't never leaving again. Never leaving." She told me last week she's going to start a Bible study Monday nights in our home for people that don't have a home church. She's got 15, 16 kids coming to the Bible study. Second thing I want to tell you, Jesus had crowds following. Crowds, whole churches followed Jesus. But then he had the 72 that followed him. But then he had the 12. But then he had the 3, Peter, John, James. But then he had John laying his head on his breast at the Last Supper. Who do you want to be? You want to be one of the crowd? You want to be one of the 72? You want to be one of the 12? You want to be one of the 3? Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? Third and last thing. We had communion today. And we know that Jesus was broken bread and poured out wine for us. But the question is, are we broken bread and poured out wine for him? Are we breaking our bread and pouring out our wine for our Savior? Are we doing that? Are we doing that? If you need prayer, please get prayer. That's all I have to say. Please get prayer. And if you have an unction to pray for somebody, please go and pray for that person. Please do it. Prayer changes everything. Changes everything. Not some things. Prayer changes everything. Thank you.
And Lord, my life is an empty cup. Here's my heart, would you fill me up? I'm face to the ground, forsaking my pride, leaving my will, my burdens behind. And all I want and all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. And I have come to the end of me, and there's nothing I have to bring, but you said I belong. You say I am yours. Nothing compares to knowing you more. And all I want and all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. And all I want and all I need is just to be with you, just to be with you. Here I am at your feet, just to be with you, just to be with you. And you made a way for me, and oh, Savior, I'm yours forevermore. And you made a way for me, oh, Savior, I'm yours forevermore.
Hold on, Sean.
I'm yours forevermore.
Hold on, buddy. All right. If you're up here and you're waiting for prayer, I want you to raise your hand, please. You have not yet had someone lay hands on you. Okay. Kayla, I want you to find somebody right now. I know he's doing business with you, sweetheart, but you are so full. I want you to transfer all the hunger he's given you, Kayla. Find somebody with a hand up. Keep a hand up. Keep a hand up. Find somebody. All right, okay. Lord, we need more workers. I'll try to make my rounds. Try to make my rounds. If you've received prayer, please pray for others. Pray for others, God. Lift up the prayer warriors, God. Lift up the prayer warriors. Bless this prophet of the Lord. Bless this prophet of the Lord. Prophet of the Lord. Prophet of the Lord. Pure words that will turn the people from their sins to your will, from the deadness of their sins to the life of your presence, from the emptiness of their deception and idols and their habits that kill to the life and the rejoicing. Turn them with her words. Turn them with her prayers. In Jesus' name.